really easy for us to see, reading the Word of God, it's really easy for us to see that when you think murder is the answer, when you think that rape is the answer, when you think that taking into hostage women and children is the answer, you're not right. That's easy for us to see. But they can't see it because it's how they've been trained to do it, and it's what they think's right. So while that's a very extreme case, I say that to you because there's times where we've been blinded by what we think is right, and we're living our lives in a set motion with that being what's right, and aren't changing from the right or the left, and we're not paying attention to what it is God is actually telling us is right. And so we begin ruling our lives based on what we think is right and not consulting God to find out what's right. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Jordan and I have been making some decisions recently about moving, and so there's some things that are on the table, and one way or the other way, and neither one is evil by any means, right? But one of them is right and one of them isn't. Why? Because whatever God says is right is the one that's right. And so I want to tell you that when those kind of things come up where it's not, maybe one doesn't look evil, one doesn't look like it's completely crazy. Well, that's when you really have to pay attention, because I could reason either one to make total sense. Okay, I don't know about y'all, but I can reason anything to look good. Maybe y'all don't do that, but I can reason a donut to look like it's a health food. Like I can just reason it into place. I have, you know, I'm all about it. I actually saw that a donut has as many calories as 3 tablespoons of ketchup. So as long as I don't eat the ketchup and I eat the donut, I feel like I'm doing all right. See? You could just reason it all to be. But it's that reasoning where we get caught up. It's that reasoning where we decide, this sounds right, I'm going to make this right, I'm going to make this fit, and that's the way we're going to do it, and I'm going to call it right. So we're going to talk for a moment about self-righteousness. Your attempt to earn righteousness without God, so to do things the right way without Him, right? Or to earn the righteousness of God without receiving redemption of Jesus. The greatest sin of mankind is trying to be like God without God. From the very beginning, that was the temptation. Try to be like God without God. To know good and evil, and you determining what is good. You determining what is right. You determining how it should be. You looking at, we'll just let the notes preach themselves. That feels safer that way. You're making the determination based on your soul's choice and not based on the Word. So I'm going to give you 5 characteristics of self-righteousness. Remember, we're ending about, this is the fourth quarter. Everyone stay excited. Glory to God. So number 1, judging the sins of others while you overlook your own. Characteristic number 1. This is really easy to do. And I'm going to tell you that one day my one of my daughters, I'll say that because you won't know which one. One of my daughters, we were on our way to school, I believe, or something like that. We were riding in the car and she said, "Mom, so you're telling me that if someone who is like a murderer who murders, what? Yes, a serial killer, you're telling me a serial killer goes to prison and gets saved, they get to go to heaven? And I said, yes, ma'am. That is exactly right. She's like, that just seems crazy. And I said, have you sinned? Have you lied? Have you taken something? You know, I know these answers because I'm her mother. And so, have you done things? Yeah. Do you get to go to heaven? Yes, ma'am. Well, so do they. God has no record-keeping system, no rating system of sin. If you repent, if you come to him, if you believe he died, rose again, and you ask him for forgiveness of your sins, you have access to heaven. So we have no business judging someone else's sin. No business. That doesn't mean that you agree with it. That doesn't mean that you say it's okay. That doesn't mean that you say it's good. It just means your position doesn't change. God is good. Jesus can redeem them. Love is still for them. Heaven is still available. Number two, characteristic. Justifies himself while comparing himself to others. Consistently points out the sins of others with an air of superiority. This one, I know when I started, I was guilty. I just call it like it is. You can't get mad if I talk about myself, right? You can't get mad if I say that I was guilty of it. But I wasn't going to the bar on the weekend. I was obviously doing okay. I mean, I wasn't really in the Word, but I attended church on Sunday. I mean, I was there. I mean, who cares if I was, you know, this and that? They weren't even there on Sunday, but I was there on Sunday. Oh, I'm glad I'm the only one that's guilty of that. I'm glad to see that. Right? Oh, well, it's all right if I just mess it up a little bit here, because they're obviously messing it up way more than I'm messing up, so I must be doing okay. So I must be the bigger person. I must be a better Christian than them. No, that's self-righteousness. That's bringing yourself to a place where you're comparing yourself to someone else to justify. The only person that you should be comparing yourself to is Jesus, and hoping that you're getting more like him every single day. Comparison is the thief of joy. It's the thief of joy. If you want to lose your joy quickly, start comparing yourself to someone else. Because let me tell you, you are not created like anyone else here. I love all of my kids. I heard this from Lisa Bevere, and I'm stealing it. So there's her one time getting credit, and she's never getting credit again. I love all of my kids, not equally. I love them all uniquely. Why? Because they're completely different. Every single one of them is different. You can't compare yourself to someone else. You are uniquely created where they don't have what you have. They weren't created the way that you were created. They weren't designed to do what you were designed to do. They weren't designed to reach the people that you were called to reach. And there's no way that you can help one another if you keep comparing yourself to someone else. So you have to make sure that comparison is not a part. Number three, when you are not patient with those who mess up, you're not patient with those who struggle with sin or have lost their way. Sometimes when they're real close to you, I get it. You want to just give them a little shake, right? Just a little. But love is always patient. Love is always patient. And I have to tell you right now, if it wasn't for the patience of God, there's no way I'd be standing here. Every day I feel like, Lord, thank you for being so patient with me. Jordan Schaefer may be the most patient man I've ever met in my entire life. I really feel like that. I feel like I could just wear him out if he wasn't, but he is so patient with me. He's patient for me to get myself together. Sometimes I have to, and if my husband can be patient, oh, how patient the Lord is with me, because He only knows what comes out of my mouth. He doesn't hear all the things that happen in my head. The Lord is so patient. He's been so gracious to you. If you ever start getting fed up with someone, start thinking of how good the Lord's been to you. And if you can't think about how good the Lord's been to you, then you need to spend some time, because I promise you, He has saved you from more things than you could name. He changed your life. He has you sitting in this building. You have a Bible in your hand. Your life has been turned around. I saw Patty post today. She posted Fresh Prince, and it said, if you need to know, or it said, so how did you meet Jesus? And it said, so this is a story all about how my life got twisted upside, but right side up, right? My life got twisted right side up. My life has completely changed. If you can't keep that in your focus, then that's why you're having trouble. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, it would not be good. Number four, you consistently believe you are right and that you know best. You believe you know better than everyone else. Don't be a know-it-all. If you're still alive, you still got room to learn. One of the greatest things I've ever learned is that if you want to be a leader, if you want to be somebody, then you always better be teachable. Do you know that's one of the most amazing things to me about Brother Copeland and Oral Roberts too? They will sit at the foot of a starting minister or someone young in ministry and say, teach me about that. Teach me about that. Brother Copeland invites the Michael Koulianos, the Todd White, teach me about that. Tell me about that. Brother Copeland's been in ministry longer than these guys have been alive. Teach me about that. Tell me about that. Always being teachable. And if you think that you're the smartest one in the group of the people that you're in, go find new people.